in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And that's a pen!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do you
see? Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776, 737-80-ESPN on the HMP. Listen a lot. On the text line, on X at P. Creighton 1. Big Gianni Baker.
Big bad Johnny.
On the other side of the glass at the master controls at Third Coast Johnny on X. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com. ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa. Play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go. You know you'll want to. All right, let's get to our NFL picks for week 3 in the league where they play for a pay. Oh, wait, that's every league now. We'll start with Tennessee Titans in Cleveland taking on the Brownies. Honestly, I think both quarterbacks are terrible. I don't have faith in either offense. I have more faith in the Browns' defense than I do in the Titans' defense. I think the Titans are better at pass defense than run defense. I think the Browns can run the ball on anybody. I think the Browns' defense is really good. And I will take the Brownies and the points in Cleveland. Brownies laying the 3.5. Atlanta in Detroit taking on the Lions. Lions favored by 3. I can't go with Desmond Ridder on the road. Atlanta's defense has been better than advertised. They run the ball really well. Detroit can throw it around the yard. It's in Detroit, so I will take the Lions and the 3. Packers hosting the Saints. Packer 1-point favorites in this game. This season so far, Derek Carr has 1 touchdown and 2 picks. That's suboptimal. I am not big on this. Saints are looking. They're good defense. I don't know about that offense. Only laying a point, I will take the Packers and lay the singular point. Dolphins are home against the Broncos. I don't know if Russell Inc is still out there kissing babies. But a healthy Tua Tagovailoa is a top 3 quarterback in the AFC. And Russell Wilson might be a bottom 3 quarterback in the AFC right now. Dolphins are 6.5-point favorites. They'll win by at least a touchdown. I'll take the fish. Here's an interesting game. Chargers and the Vikings. Both teams are 0-2. Vikings are 1-point favorites at home. Vikings have not been able to figure out how to get Alexander Mattison on track. Kirk Cousins is off to a good start, 708 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick through 2 games. Justin Jefferson's already got 309 yards on the season. The Chargers are a team, look, you know they can put up points on anybody, but for some reason, the Chargers find ways to steal defeat from the jaws of victory better than any team in the NFL, and they have done so for like 30 years. Only because they are at home, I'm going to take the Vikings and lay the singular point. In the swamps of Jersey, the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. The Patriots are 2.5-point favorites over the Jets. The Jets' defense is real. The Jets' run game is real. Zach Wilson at quarterback is kind of like giving the keys to your Ferrari to your 16-year-old that's never taken a road test. I don't know that it works. The Patriots' offense is not that good. This is, like, the Patriots have the better quarterback, but the Jets have the better everything else. I don't like taking New England to win by a field goal because I think the Jets are just a better team all around. I'm going to take the Jets and the points in what I think could be a very low-scoring game. The Buffalo Bills in Washington to take on the Commies. The Bills are 6-point favorites. Josh Allen's had an awful game, and then he's had a good game. He and Sam Howell have actually thrown about the same number of yards. Neither team's done a whole lot running the football. This is one of those games I'm like, all right, what do I really feel here? But I think there's a serious quarterback discrepancy, and the Bills' defense will make life tough for Sam Howell. So we are going to take the Buffalo Bills, and we're going to lay the 6 points. Texans in Jacksonville to take on the Jags. Jags are 8-point favorites. Texans defense has issues. No Denzel Perryman. No Derek Stingley Jr. No Jalen Petrie. No Taft Thomas. The offensive line, of course, still in shambles. Laremy Tunsil, questionable to play. Don't know whether he will actually play or not. But, man, we've seen the Texans' offensive line has been... What comes after god-awful? Whatever comes after god-awful, go 8 more steps down the road, and that's the Texans' offensive line. I'm taking the Jags the points because I don't trust the Texans' defense to get any stops. And don't touch the Texans' offensive line to open any holes. They will have to throw all the time. CJ will be under pressure all the time, just like he was the first two games. And he will need to throw it to try to overcome a huge deficit, and they will not make it up. Last 12 o'clock game is the Colts and the Ravens. Anthony Richardson probably out. Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense is finding its way. I'll tell you, I thought the Colts offense, even though it's really designed for Anthony Richardson and not for Gardner Minshew, Gardner Minshew's more accurate passer. I'm going to take the Colts +8. I think the Ravens will win. But I think the Colts can stay within. I think they keep it to a touchdown. 3 o'clock games, Panthers and the Seahawks. No Bryce Young for the Panthers. Seahawks and the 5.5 lay it. The Bears, who have had the week from hell, are 12.5-point underdogs to the Chiefs in Kansas City. Now, usually the Chiefs are not really good at covering these big point spreads, but the Bears are a train wreck right now. Their quarterback called out the coaching staff. The D.C.'s house got raided by the FBI and he resigned. Oh, and Soldier Field got robbed to the tune of $100,000 this week. I can't imagine anything is on the right level for the Chicago Bears right now. I'm going to take, as much as it's risky, I'm going to take the Chiefs and the points. I don't think Chicago can score. Cowboys and the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals have been game. And this game in Arizona, Cowboys are 12.5-point favorites. The Cardinals have been game. They were game against the Commies week one. They were game for a half against the Giants week two. they're going to get their asses royally kicked by the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be a mudhole stomping. I'm going to take the Cowboys. Steelers in Las Vegas taking on the Raiders. Raiders are 2.5-point favorites. I got a hard time trusting the Raiders for anything. And even though I'm not a big believer in the Pittsburgh offense, I am a big believer in the Pittsburgh defense. I will take the Steelers and take the 2.5 points. Monday night, Eagles in Tampa taking on the Bucks. It's a 5-point spread. Baker Mayfield has actually played decently for 2 weeks. I can't imagine that's going to continue. Only 5 points. I'll take the Eagles and lay the 5. And then Rams in Cincinnati. Bengals are 3-point favorites. Joe Burrow might not play. This is wrong team favored. This is smash the Rams. Absolutely smashing the Rams +3. Bengals with no Joe Burrow? That'd be awful. Rams. And in case you weren't sure, Rams +3. Plus, all day long. Hell, take them on the money line and get the extra juice. Coming up next, our buddy Chris Dell from Betting Predators and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has your NFL player props for money plays. Next.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it down in my plums. You're getting a nice bluish hue.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Ow! Love that money.
Presented by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
Time for Money Plays, and joining us on the HRMP guest line right now, founder of BettingPredators.com, sports editor and lead fantasy football sports betting analyst with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's our buddy Chris Dell. You know, you can check out his top 200 weekly fantasy rankings at bettingpredators.com. His fantasy football favorites weekly column at the post-gazette.com. And, of course, on the X at Mad Journalist. That's Mad with two Ds. Mad Journalist. What's up, Chris? How are you, brother?
Patrick, man. Another week fantasy, another week of player props. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go. I already got 16 props I bet for this weekend, which is actually a pretty low amount for me. So I'm ready to dig in and add some more bets under my belt, so to speak. So I'm ready to go, man.
All right, let's get to your six-pack player props. What do you got here for us this week? What are your best bets?
Yeah, so I wanted to go through a six-pack of player props here in terms of six games that I'm targeting so far that I see value on the player prop market. I want to start off with Indianapolis and Baltimore. I really think that there's a lot of value on the rookie wide receiver, Zay Flowers. This is a guy who's leading the NFL in terms of one of the top 5 to 10 receivers in target share. He's facing a Colts secondary that's been absolutely shredded by wide receivers. You look at what Calvin Ridley did against them in week one. Then you look at week two, what not just Nico Collins from the Houston Texans did, but also the rookie Nathaniel Tangdell. Robert Woods had big games. So I'm looking for Zay Flowers to get easily over 50 receiving yards in this ball game. We see Lamar Jackson is starting to get more accustomed to that air raid Todd Monken offense, and now we're in week three here. Again, maybe one of the worst secondaries in the league. I like Baltimore in this matchup offensively to get things going. And I really like Zay Flowers over 48.5 receiving yards. He might get one or two targets from Mark Andrews, but he's going to be explosive with the ball in his hands. We've seen over the last 2 weeks with 50-plus yard catches to his name just on one catch alone. So that's one problem.
Chris, hold on. You've gone completely underwater. We're gonna break connect. We're going to call you right back, and we're going to get this thing done because I want people to be able to hear you. You've been giving great info, And, like, look, I mean, I've been betting the stuff that you've been giving me. I bet the stuff Steve's been giving me. I've been killing it because of you guys. So I want to be able to get these from you. We just got to be able to hear you a little better. Your phone kind of, you know, went into a submarine or something. So Johnny's getting Chris back up on the line here. As soon as we get Chris back on, we'll get back into the six-pack of player props. You heard him say he likes Zay Flowers over 48.5. Likes the Ravens. Chris, welcome back. Sorry, man, the connection started to get hairy, and I wanted to be able to make sure we could hear you.
Oh, no problem, Patrick. So I was going to just go into the fact that I also do like Lamar Jackson, longest completion over 34.5 yards. He's had 50-yard completions in back-to-back games. Zay Flowers had a 52-yard catch. So you want to kind of parlay those two together. I think there's real good correlation on those two props, with the beatable secondary, with the air raid offense opening up in Baltimore, and Zay Flowers, the rookie, emerging. We often see these rookie receivers, it takes a couple weeks for them to truly be respected by the books. I think by the end of the year, even the midpoint of this regular season, we're going to start seeing Zay Flowers receiving prop line, probably lined around 60s, maybe even close to 70s. Take the value now while you can and save yourself a nice discount of about 20-plus yards there.
Zay Flowers over 48.5. Lamar Jackson, longest completion, over 34.5 yards. He also likes a Baltimore win there. So you got three kind of all shoved in there real nice and tight. What else you got in your six-pack?
Yeah, so let's move on to another game here, Patrick, because, again, like I want to take advantage of things that we know, right? We talked about that, you know, Zay Flowers, number one target in Baltimore. We've seen that. We've known that. We know what the offense wants to do passing the ball. We know the matchup. Now let's go to New England and against the New York Jets. And we know what Bill Belichick wants to do. And he wants to shut down the opposing team's best player. And who's the opposing team's best player, this week in week three? Well, if Breece Hall was fully healthy, I would say that it's him. But the Jets have shown us that they're not willing to fully unleash Breece Hall, especially with Aaron Rodgers going down, and they're kind of season up in the air in flux right now. So I look for Bill Belichick and that talented Patriots secondary to take away Garrett Wilson on the side of things for the Jets. Now, I don't know if I necessarily want to play unders on Garrett Wilson. What I do want to do is I do want to play Zach Wilson to throw an interception in this game. It's a little bit juicy, but I see the Jets needing to throw the ball in this matchup in order to try to win towards the end, although I think it could be a competitive game here. So give me Zach Wilson to throw an interception. And then another prop that I also like in this game is Dalvin Cook under 37.5 combined rushing and receiving yards. Dalvin Cook's been one of the most inefficient backs through 2 weeks of football so far. I don't see the Jets having any success running the ball on the ground here. And I'm going to go for another one, Patrick. The Patriots have been the number one defense in the league at taking away tight ends so far through 2 weeks of the season. I like Tyler Conklin, who only had a couple targets with Zach Wilson under center. Not much chemistry there. Under 21.5 receiving yards for Conklin. So I like the two Jets unders, and I like the Zach Wilson interception prop in this game.
Zach Wilson in a pick. Gee, Cam, I feel pretty good about that one. I feel pretty good about that one. What do you think about that game being a low-scoring game?
Yeah, I think you can only look under for that matchup. I personally, we talked about this Monday night, I personally think there's still value on the Patriots here. Take them on the hook. Make sure you get the -2.5, -3. I wouldn't play a -3.5, but I would play those key numbers right around that 3 mark. You want to play a little bit of juice and throw in the Patriots money line there. I just don't see, yes, the Jets came out. They played their hearts out in week one on Monday Night Football. They beat the Bills. You know, that charade is over. And I don't think that, you know, reality has set in now for the Jets, and I don't think they're going to be able to pull out that type of emotional win here. The Patriots are extremely motivated heading into this game at 0-2, where the Jets might be sitting a little comfortable now, 1-1. I believe a quarterback change is coming soon. I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings lose this week to go to 0-3. Kirk Cousins could be a Jet in a couple weeks. That's all I'm saying, man.
You know, that would actually be really interesting because Minnesota's 0-2, but Cousins is like 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. And if the Vikings go 0-3 and they decide to punt, and the Jets are somehow able to give up, what do you think it takes to get Kirk Cousins? How many ones?
Well, it wouldn't be a one. A quarterback at Kirk Cousins' age, I could see, my guess would be a second-round pick at best, maybe a couple third-round picks, fourth-round picks thrown in the mix there. It's so hard to trade first-round picks. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the Jets to do it. They already gave up a lot to get Aaron Rodgers in the first place. However, I could see that happening given the defense and the talent of this team top to bottom. They just don't want to throw away the season here. I could see it with Tannehill, but I think Kirk Cousins makes more sense because there was a lot of reports coming out of camp in the offseason and preseason that the Vikings eventually want to move on sooner rather than later from Kirk Cousins. Yes, he's having a great year statistically through 2 weeks, but we know he's not the answer when it comes to winning games deep into the playoffs, as good as he looks right now. So I think the Vikings are going to want to take advantage. And the more stat padding Kirk Cousins does during this regular season, the higher his trade value is going to go. So I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe some type of deal go down with, second, third-round pick involved. Obviously, Tannehill will be cheaper, but don't put it past the Jets to make that type of deal once again, twice in the last year.
I wouldn't touch Tannehill. I think Tannehill's lousy. Yeah, I know he had like one really good year, but yeah, I'm out on Tannehill. I think Kirk Cousins would make things very interesting for the Jets because they just need a capable passer. With all those weapons, they need a capable passer, and their defense is phenomenal. Let me ask you about a game that I think is really interesting, and that's the Rams and the Bengals on Monday night. I'm still seeing the Bengals favored by 3 while hearing that Joe Burrow is not going to play.
Yeah.
What do you got on that game?
It's a tough one. I'm a Bengals fan, Patrick. So I try to keep my bias. I feel like I'm unbiased when it comes to the Bengals because I've always been more of a Bengals pessimist, especially over the last 20 years before Burrow started winning playoff games here. But this is what I see. I mean, you read the tea leaves, you read the beat reports, the NFL insider reports, et cetera, et cetera. What the Bengals did today, they signed a quarterback off their practice squad. And they would never do that unless there was a chance that Joe Burrow wasn't going to play. We also saw Jamar Chase come out to the media today and say that, hey, look, he said this in the preseason as well. He said, I don't want Joe Burrow playing unless he's 100%. Jamar Chase is being vocal that he doesn't want his former college teammate, his boy Joe Burrow, playing in this game either. You got to think long-term for the Bengals. There was some video of Joe Burrow riding around the court at practice with the owner, Paul Brown. Mike Brown. So I think that you're looking at this situation to where why would the Bengals sign the quarterback off their practice squad? Yeah, maybe they want a backup in case Burrow gets hurt or re-aggravates the calf on Monday Night Football. But I think even if Burrow plays, that there's value on the Rams +2.5, +3 if you can shop around and get that +3. That's a real key number. I think there's value on the Rams money line. As much as I'd hate to see my Bengals fall to 0-3 on the season, this is a different Rams team than we saw last year. A lot of people came into this year thinking they were going to be one of the top contenders to tank the season away. Sean McVay showing that he's out to win. Matthew Stafford's elevating the guys around him. Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell. So even with Joe Burrow plays, he's not going to be 100%. So regardless of what happens, take advantage of the line now because if Burrow plays, the line's not going to move. If Burrow's ruled out, which there's a good chance that could happen, you're going to see the Rams instantly become favored. So I would take advantage right now of that regardless of what happens to Burrow.
What? Talking with Chris Dell, founder at bettingpredators.com, sports editor, fantasy editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette with us on the HRMP guest line. Chris, what do you think about the Eagles and the Bucks? Now, this game's in Tampa. Eagles are 5-point favorites. Baker Mayfield has been better than I think anybody thought he would be at this point in the season, or really at any point in the season because he's Baker Mayfield. But he's been solid. He's been the game manager that they've needed. They still have a good defense. They still have a couple of really good wide receivers. But now you've got, the NFC champs coming to town. What do you think about that game, the Eagles and the Bucks?
Yeah, look, I mean, this isn't a game I bet on the spread, but I think the Eagles are a better football team on both sides of the ball here. It's been impressive what the Bucks have done. If I was a Bucks fan, I don't know how much I'd be enjoying this. Personally, I'd rather have Drake May or Caleb Williams as my franchise quarterback next season. But with them starting 2-0, they're already way behind the 8-ball on that one, Patrick. So, look, man, I think the Eagles come in and give the Bucks a reality check here. Baker Mayfield, yes, he's played well, but keep in mind that Baker Mayfield's maybe played against two of the worst defenses in the NFL so far, the Minnesota Vikings, and especially the Chicago Bears. They're right now contenders for the worst defense out of all 32 NFL teams. So I know the Eagles are a little bit banged up on defense. I still think they have enough talent top to bottom on that defensive side to give Baker Mayfield some issues here. Mike Evans, he's playing out of his mind. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Love Mike Evans and what he's doing. He looks great out there. However, the one prop I'm going to go to, I'm going to pivot here to the Eagles side, A.J. Brown. We saw it, it's been a while. It's been about 10-plus days since we saw him on Thursday Night Football in Week 2, arguing with his boy Jalen Hurts on the sidelines. Those guys are really tight, close-knit buddies, so I don't think that's anything that they're going to take a while to get over. However, I do see the squeaky wheel narrative coming A.J. Brown's way, and got to pay a little bit of juice on this, but A.J. Brown over 4.5 receptions. I really like that a lot in this game. That's the one prop that I played so far. I look for him to get targets early and often in this matchup. And he had 4 catches in Week 2 in a game where he didn't think he got enough targets. So I think he's going to get fed early. This is a prop that A.J. Brown could easily catch just in the first half alone here.
He is Chris Dell, founder at bettingpredators.com. Fantasy editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Mad Journalist. That's Mad with 2 D's, M-A-D-D, Journalist. And, of course, you can get all this stuff at bettingpredators.com, post-gazette.com. Chris, always appreciate you, my friend. We will talk again soon.
Likewise, Patrick. Have a good weekend, man.
Chris Dell, bettingpredators.com, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Couple of things of note. Number one, he is trying to steal Anthony Richardson from me in a trade in our fantasy league that we're in together. He is offering me the most absolute pile of junk to try to steal Anthony Richardson from me, and I'm just not having it. I know Richardson's not even playing yet, but I know as we get later on in the season, when Richardson's healthy and, you know, just the rushing totals and the rushing touchdowns he gets, when somebody else in the league finds themselves with a quarterback injury, I will get a big return. I am not going to sell him for a couple of crappy bench guys. Dell's trying to swipe him from me. He's a slick negotiator. Also, Chazzy freaking Fizz, who better be the starting center fielder next year, who better be in the lineup every damn day and night. 3-run Oppo Boppo. And the Astros are within 2 at 7-5. No thanks to Fromber's meltdowns in the first and sixth innings. Astros within 2. It's not a moribund stadium. Hey, we're not doing the wave anymore. Jackasses. Before we hit the break, BetUS.com. Listen, my man Chris Dell at Betting Predators just gave you a ton of great info, a ton of great plays for you to make money. And look, there is no better way to make money than to watch sports and get paid. Well, there's one other way, but it's not really legal. It's the second best way to make money. Watch sports and get paid. And the best way to do that is at BetUS.com. Chris just gave you the info. Now all you got to do is log into BetUS.com and lay your bet, sit back, and make that moolah. It's their 30th year being an online sportsbook. They're the original online sportsbook. And for their 30th anniversary, they've got the absolute best promo in all of online sports wagering. Up to 30 risk-free bets. That means you bet, you win, you get paid. You bet, you lose, you keep your money. Not one, not two, not three. Tell me, LeBron, not 4, not 5. Up to 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. They also have the biggest sign-up bonus in the industry. 125% cash. You load up your account, they give you 125% of your deposit, boom, right away. Sign up with crypto and you get 200% bonus right away. All you got to do is sign up, BetUS.com. Or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about all the bonuses. Learn about all the special offers. You want to learn how to deposit in crypto so that you can get a 200% bonus? Call them. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Go to BetUS.com. Sportsbook and casino, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
I think you can use it a little bit for sure. Don't think we played really our best either game against these guys offensively anyways. Our defense played great both weeks last year against them, but I know offensively we didn't. And just going back, you know, I think me and Josh were talking about early in the week, he's only, myself too, but he's been here longer, Josh Allen, he's only beat him once in his career. So that we know that too, and this team has been a team that, you know, we haven't had much success with. So, you know, of course it's a new season and it's a new year, different, the teams look different, all that, but you know, you can use definitely some of that as motivation, and we should be coming out ready to play.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
That was Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars quarterback, talking about maybe this is a revenge game, claiming that they seem to struggle against against the Houston Texans, as I'm watching Jose Altuve get a 46-foot infield hit. Now there are runners on the corners with two outs, and the Astros down a pair, and Jeremy Pena coming to the plate. And what looked like a surefire 7-2 loss is suddenly potentially a game. But you heard Trevor Lawrence say, hey, he's looking forward to beating the Texans because, well, they don't have a great record of beating the Texans recently. He said Josh Allen's only been on a team that they beat him one time. And you look at the Texans right now. Denzel Perryman, out. Jalen Petrie, out. Tavier Thomas, out. Derek Stingley, out and heading to IR. Laremy Tunsil, got three limited practices in. He is questionable. They hope he can play. I know C.J. Stroud hopes he can play because chances are he might get hit five less times if Laremy Tunsil plays. Other than that, everybody else is back to a full practice. So George Fant, who's been lousy through two games, he was a full practice. Tank Dell, he was a full practice. John Grenard, full practice. Eric Murray, full practice. C.J. Stroud. The last update I saw on C.J. Stroud is that he is almost fully healthy, but that the team may continue to manage his workload during the week in practice. As just kind of a maintenance on his shoulder that he doesn't get, you know, a relapse of this injury or have any other issues with his shoulder. He played through a similar injury all through 2021 at Ohio State. So they think they can manage this. The report was that, hey, he's almost fully healthy. And if not fully healthy means he throws for 384 yards, I want to see what fully healthy looks like. Bobby Trees, full practice. And most importantly, Jimmy Ward, back-to-back full practices. They will get their defensive secondary captain back on the field. And I think, you know, look, obviously they miss Petrie because he's their best playmaker. Especially among the safeties, but maybe their entire secondary. Petrie's probably the best playmaker. But Jimmy Ward is the captain. He's the play caller. He's the guy getting everybody in the right spots. And with no Sting, no Petrie, and no Tav Thomas, he's going to have his work cut out for him. Yainer Diaz, who came in to pinch hit, is in the game behind the plate with Hector Neris on the mound in the ninth inning, down two. So if Neris pitches a 1-2-3, it's because Neris is really good. And if Neris gets hit, it's Yainer's fault, right? That's how that works. That's how it works. And again, these are not shots at Maldonado. These are shots at the manager. Because old managers say the darndest things. It could literally be a show at this point. I am wondering if the Texans are just doomed this year. Because the number of injuries between the offensive line and now the defensive secondary, the number of injuries to specific position groups is insurmountable. You know, one of the things about rebuilding teams, they don't have depth. You know, they'll have good players as starters, but there's no depth. And you're seeing that with the Texans' offensive line, how they're on like guard three and tackle four and tackle five and center three, and they get mauled. They can't open any lines for the running game. People out there on these streets actually saying Dameon Pierce is trash. He is averaging first contact a half a yard behind the line of scrimmage. His average first contact is negative half a yard. People out here saying Dameon Pierce is trash. Every single one of those people should be shot into the damn sun. Because we got to take that kind of stupid and get it out of the gene pool. Everybody out there saying Dameon Pierce sucks, launch them straight into the friggin' sun. The offensive line sucks. And Nico Collins looks like he is blossoming into a guy who could legitimately be a wide receiver one. Robert Woods is looking a lot more like Bobby Trees, L.A., than Bobby Trees, Tennessee. And that probably has to do with the fact that he has a quarterback that can actually throw him the football right now. Because last year, he had, what, 8 games with Malik Willis, and Malik Willis couldn't hit the sink from the shower. So we are seeing Robert Woods' decrease in effectiveness last year was very much a function of terrible quarterbacking. I think one of the things the Texans need to work on is getting Stroud to be more willing to run. He has shown you he is athletic. He has shown you he can, you know, get around the pocket. He can evade rushers. He can buy time. But we've seen him a couple of times get lucky not throwing a pick because he threw the ball away, but he didn't throw it out of bounds. You know, there was one where he just kind of threw it over a defender's head down the sideline last week instead of throwing it out of bounds. I don't know why he did this. And another defender came diving over and almost caught the ball. It was almost a pick. Teachable moment. But he probably could have pulled that ball down and gotten 7 yards. You know, there was a play where they were in the red zone and he could have pulled the ball down and probably scored. He's always looking down the field. It's okay for him. Like, you want him, like, look, if everything is bottled up and there's a lane, take it. You know, I'm not trying to get you to run for 1,000 yards. But you'll keep them honest if 3-4 times a game they leave a lane open for you and you make them pay by picking up 7, 8, 10 yards, slide down, first down, move the sticks. The fact that they know, hey, if he gets out of the pocket, he can go get that first down, even if he's not necessarily going to do it all the time. The fact that it'll be there causes them to hesitate defensively. If he just shows them, I'm willing to do this, it makes his life easier when he's trying to throw the ball down the field because the defender will have to stop for a second and come up if he faints like he is going to run because he will have already run. And that can create options for you down the field. One of the things I want to see Stroud improve on, if you're going to get rid of it out of bounds. And two, if they give you a running lane, take it. Don't be afraid to take that lane. All right, one more segment to go. It's time for a little WTF next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, I'm in it for Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You know, 4 years ago I met Dr. Ben, went there essentially just desperate because I'd been to over a half dozen doctors in two different states and nobody could really do anything for me. I had sinus infection every other month, and it was just to the point where I'd been told by other doctors, look, you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. This is what it is. Dr. Ben didn't think so. He wanted to find out what the root of the problem was, and he did. I talked to him for 30 minutes, telling him what different issues that I had, what different treatments that I had, what different, you know, what doctors had told me and prescribed to me, and he says, let's get a look inside your head. Wanted to have a CT scan done. I didn't have to go somewhere else. I didn't have to go see another doctor. We just went three doors down, made a left, took 5 minutes. Turned out I had staph infection in my sinus that was highly resistant to antibiotics. So all these 20 years of, here's a Z-Pack, literally did nothing. And that's why I had a sinus infection every other month. It was essentially the same one, just never went away. Got stronger, weaker. I was just on a roller coaster from hell. I needed Dr. Ben to get away from that. They surgically removed the staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty. They got rid of all the dead and damaged tissue in my sinuses that had my sinus cavity almost completely closed. It would sound like I was snoring even though I was wide awake because my airways were so obstructed I couldn't breathe. Turned out I had a deviated septum. Well, they fixed that too. And now it's 4 years later. Haven't had a sinus infection, haven't even had a sinus headache. I feel great. I breathe great. I stopped snoring because my airways are open. Imagine that. And now I sleep through the night and I wake up and I feel rested. And because I don't snore anymore, my wife feels rested. My kids feel rested. The dog feels rested. Even the neighbors feel rested because they don't hear me snoring all night long. If you deal with sinus issues, snoring issues, if you have sleep apnea, whether you use the CPAP machine or not, you could get rid of it all together. All you got to do is call Dr. Ben Salento. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Let Dr. Ben do for you what he did for me, what he did for dozens of other late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people in the greater Houston area. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. Tell him I sent you by. Make it official. Astros go down 1-2-3 in the ninth, 7-5. They lose. Another game where the Astros just absolutely stink against a team that absolutely stinks. Makes you say, WTF! Oh, that's what we do in this segment. You know, Johnny, I've heard of garbage pickers. But what I've not heard of is toilet pickers. And what I've really not heard of is porta-potty pickers.
Oh, no.
Because that just sounds nasty. So, a woman in Michigan had to be rescued earlier this week because she got stuck in an outhouse trying to retrieve her Apple Watch that fell into the big pot. I'm sorry. If I lost my Apple Watch in there, I'm getting another one.
It's gone.
Get a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's in those blue chemicals that are in the porta potty, but I know what else is in there, and I'm sure as hell not going through that. There is nothing that I can buy from Apple that is worth digging through however many days of other people's ones and twos. Hell for reckon no.
Find somebody who's broke, who's looking for work, pay him $25, let him go do it.
I would never wear it again. All right, you don't know
what's
seeped into there.
That's true.
You might, like, could you imagine you're wearing it and then all of a sudden, like, it's hot out, you're starting to sweat, and all of a sudden you start seeing stuff. No way in hell. This woman lowered herself into the porta potty to try to get her Apple Watch, and then she was stuck. She couldn't get out, and she was crying for help. And troopers had to rescue her. They had to remove the entire toilet and then get a strap to hoist her out.
That's a nightmare.
For an Apple Watch.
Oh.
Yeah. Honey, you got some issues when it comes to your priorities in life. All right. This I thought was great. Do you remember a few years ago when it was Michael Crabtree.
Aqib Talib.
And Aqib Talib. And Aqib Talib, like, stole his chain and it started a fight. So Ontario Hockey League, minor league hockey. Consider Ontario Hockey League to be like AAA hockey. And less than a minute to go in the first period between Sault Ste. Marie and Sudbury. Not that any of you guys have a clue who these teams are, but I'm just talking about the Canadian teams. Okay? Landon McCallum from Sudbury and Alex Kostov of Sault Ste. Marie are yapping at each other. McCallum then grabs Kostov's chain, rips it off his neck, and this is what happened afterwards.
0.6 seconds to try and translate some of that excitement into what the heck is
what?
That? So that was Alex Kostov, who, as they were preparing for the faceoff, Landon McCallum. Now all heck is broken loose, as it were. Villeneuve, there you see those two guys tussling away. And Jordan Dentino, the goal scorer, he still has his hat on. So, wow, that was, I think, unexpected.
Canadian broadcasters have no sense or flair of the dramatic. There is a full-scale on-ice brawl going on. Everybody is fighting. And it's because McCallum and Kostov, he grabs Kostov's chain and rips it off of him and then skates away. Kostov turns and looks at the official, who is like 8 feet away, and saw the whole thing. He's like, we're just going to let him do this? And the official doesn't do anything. So Kostov skates over and just slugs him right in the head. Brawl starts. Everybody's fighting everybody, right? This is like, we're watching Slapshot. Everybody's in a fight. And here's the Canadian broadcaster's like, oh, look at this. Can't believe it. Ah, they're having a go. Do you see this? I'm so sorry. What? Eh? There was the lamest broadcast. There's a full-on 5-on-5 fight going on.
Who wears a chain in minor league hockey? Anyways?
Everybody
Come on.
Wears chains.
Come on.
Dude, everybody wears chains. I'll tell you what, I wore them. I wore a chain. In fact, I continued to wear the chain even when I was training pro wrestling until one day during a match, I forgot I was still wearing my chain. I was refereeing this match. And Mike Mayhem, who was the winner of the match and also one of the trainers at the school, decided he was going to please the audience and chop the ref. He hit me with 5 chops. The pendant on my chain actually got embedded into my chest. We had to get pliers to pull it out. Try explaining that one to the doctor. Shouldn't wear them, but we do. It's going to do it for us for this week. Appreciate my man Chris Dell, Betting Predators, Johnny B on the other side of the glass, our texters, tweeters, and twitchers. See you on Monday. H-Town!